Well, that's going to be hard to follow. I just love our children, and it's just such a blessing to see them be a part of what God is doing, not just over there, but here. Amen? Yes. So, you know, Pastor Matt recognized our teenagers that take the time to invest in the next generation, but I want to take the time to recognize Pastor Matt and all his team over there. Thank you guys for serving. So we're glad you're here. My name is JR, and I have the privilege of being the pastor of these amazing people. And so we want to greet all our guests. Come on, everyone. Let's greet our guests. Thank you for coming, being with us. We understand you're here because of the children, but that's okay. I hope that you enjoyed our worship and that God speaks to you through the message that we have this morning. We want to connect with you. So somewhere around you, there's a connection card in the chair back. If you'll just take a moment between now and the end of the service and fill that out, we'd love to connect with you. There's a place there also for prayer requests, and we really want to join you in prayer. If you'd like to do it digitally, you can text the number 505-492-0002. Text the word guest, and you'll get a link. Just follow the link, and you'll be able to do all that with your electronic device. So we are officially now in the Christmas season. Yeah, amen. I love Christmas, don't you guys? I love everything about it. I love the seasons. I love the sounds of the season. I've told our church that I started listening to Christmas music on September the 1st. Yeah, that's a tradition for me. I just love it. I could listen to it all year long, but I choose to do it on September 1. And so I've been listening to Christmas music and just the sounds of it, walking into the stores and hearing songs like "Oh Come All Ye Faithful" and "Emmanuel," hearing all those all around our world. We need to hear that. Amen. Amen. You know, a few weeks ago, I just simply want to do this because God cares about everything. But a few weeks ago, we prayed for Paris, and now we need to take a moment before we start and pray for our country. Amen. We had a tragedy happen last week in California, and so we want to just pause for a moment and pray for those families and then for God to do what God's going to do. Amen. So would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you, God, that you are, in spite of what's going on in our world, you are God. And everything, Father, is under your control. Father, we thank you, God, that in the midst of tragedy, Lord, people can turn to you. Father, we pray for those families that have lost loved ones. Father, we pray that your church would come around them. Father, that your message would go to them. But Father, we pray that the amazing, comforting Holy Spirit would just come alongside them and comfort them and point them to your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. So I want to start this morning in our three-part series called The Sounds of Christmas. I want to start this morning by talking to you about the sound of peace. Now, I'm going to be really brief this morning with my message. Nobody laugh, I can do it. Because we get the time for our kids, but I want to make sure that we understand why Jesus came. We all talk about, and it's true, that Jesus is the reason for the season. Isn't that right, everybody? But we want to talk about why he came. Why was it important for Jesus to come for us? And yes, to pay for our sin, absolutely. But what we're going to find out today, that Jesus came to do something that nobody else could do. Yes, he came to pay for our sin, but Jesus came to restore a relationship between God's crown of creation, between me and you and him. And so that's what we're going to talk about today when we talk about peace and what that really means. Every one of us in this morning, we understand, right, that we could all use some more peace, right? I mean, if we talk about what happened in California or we talk about it in our own personal lives, we talk about the things, the struggles that we deal with, whether it's a financial moment or a relational moment, we just hope and pray that God brings peace into the situation. But Jesus came to present and to give us a different kind of peace. Yes, he's part of that and he helps us through that. But the main peace that he came to give us was a restored relationship with God. You know, I've been thinking about Christmas, and how many of you have already finished buying all your gifts? Show of hand. Man, you guys are amazing. I'm so impressed with you. How many of you are like me and you haven't bought one yet? Yeah, that's most of us, right? You know, every year, Sylvia and I, we kind of drag our feet, you know, and wait to the last moment. But one thing that we've already started doing, and we got our Amazon shopping cart full of gifts. Can anybody guess for who those gifts are? A baby changes everything, doesn't it, everybody? Isn't that right? I mean, those of you who, it changes everything, a lot of joy, but it also changes your life. How many of you remember changing those diapers at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Feeding babies. It changes everything, right? But it also changes, a baby also changes your perspective. And it's amazing when God looked at humanity after your Bible teaches, after 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew, God looked at us and said, the greatest gift that I can give you is a baby. Because that baby, my son, will do something for you that nobody else can do. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Isaiah spoke about this on the screen or on your electronic device. Isaiah spoke about this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is a prophecy about this Christmas day, about this baby. Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And everybody say this last one with me, Prince of Peace. God, speak to our hearts. We want to know exactly what you did for us in restoring our relationship with you through the Prince of Peace, through Jesus, your Son. Amen. You know, I want to leave this scripture up on the screen because I want to point out something to you about who Jesus was, is, and always will be. He already was before he ever was born in that manger, before he ever stepped on planet Earth. He already was a Wonderful Counselor. You understand that, right? When you look at the Old Testament and you see on a consistent basis, because our God is three in one. We sang about that, and it's truth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he already was a Wonderful Counselor because he was already giving wonderful counsel to his people in the Old Testament. He was already, by the Holy Spirit, still God, the same God, God three in one. He was already given wonderful counsel, counsel that nobody else could give. Before Jesus ever stepped on planet Earth, he was already Mighty God, right? He's Mighty God. Even if you say amen, oh my, or never mind, he's still God, amen? And he was already God, he is God, and he forever will be. Not just God, everybody, but Mighty God. Before Jesus ever came, he was already the Everlasting Father. But I want you to notice the last name, Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus didn't need to create peace in heaven. It's already there. There was no turmoil. There was no conflict in heaven. The peace that needed restoring between God the Father and his creation was right here on planet Earth. And so God the Father says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you my son, and my son will do what nobody else can do. My son will bring a peace. The word peace, there's the Hebrew word shalom. Here's the definition up on the screen. It means a harmonious relationship. That's the primary meaning of the word shalom. Yes, you know, people greet and say, and that's a blessing in Israel, but the primary meaning of this word is a harmonious relationship. So Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to create a harmonious relationship with us. Also, it means freedom from disputes and completeness and fullness. Why is it that we needed that, everybody? Because the Bible teaches us that all of us were born sinners, right? Let me just show you some scriptures from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, about what Jesus did for us. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have, what's the word, everybody? We have peace. We have harmonious relationship. We have this absence of conflict with God because of what Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. Get that, everybody? All right, let me explain it to you, Lucy. Merry Christmas to you. Yeah? He said, it's an undeserved privilege. We didn't do anything for this, where we now stand. We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Look at verse 8 from the same chapter. But God showed his great love. His what, everybody? His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. In other words, we didn't deserve this. It was a gift for us. And we were at that place where there was no peace between us and God. Same chapter, verses 11 and 12. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Wow. What an amazing thing that our Prince of Peace came to do for us. Came to do for us. And listen, if you're in this room right now and you've never had that moment where Jesus Christ has become your Savior, yeah, you believe in him and you know that he's there, but you know and you sense that there's a broken relationship or a severed or a distance relationship between you and God the Father. Here's what the Prince of Peace came to do. He came to do what Paul writes here in Romans 5. He came to restore that relationship between you and God the Father. To where God is not just the man upstairs or some distant person that's not interested in your life. No, no, no. Paul says, he's our friend. We have an intimacy with him. And all that happened at the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So if you're new to Bible study, what's happening here is Mary and Joseph are making their way, being obedient to follow the laws of the land, and they're on the way to Jerusalem. And so we pick up the story in chapter 2, known as the Christmas story. We pick it up right here. This is the moment. Everybody say moment. This is the moment when God said, here is your present. Here is your gift. Here is the Prince of Peace, the gift of restoring my relationship with you. In those days, a decree went out. When you read the Bible, understand that there's never anything there just because there was no other word that the writers could come up with. All of it is inspired. So when the writer here, Luke, when he writes, he's primarily writing to a friend who's not a Jewish believer. You can see that in the first chapter. And he says, in those days, he knew what he was talking about. It was in the days when Herod was in charge. He was the guy. He was king. And he made life hard and miserable. God's people in this moment, they needed peace because they were being taxed and they didn't like that. Secondly, they were being governed by the Romans and they didn't like the fact that they were Gentiles and they didn't like to be around them. So they needed this peace. And so here Luke writes and he says, here's where peace comes from. It doesn't come from the government. Can I get an amen? It doesn't come by what we do. It comes from Jesus Christ. And he says this. He says, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, what a name, was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And then this amazing moment happens miles away from the place of the birth of the gift. The greatest gift God could ever give us. Miles away, these shepherds. Let me just tell you something about what people thought about shepherds in this day. They didn't like them. Matter of fact, they thought they were like on the bottom scale of the economic scale. Their character was questioned. Here's how bad it was that they would not let them testify in court because they believed that all shepherds lied. And then on top of that, they were always with sheep, so they kind of had a little smell to them. But here's what we see, and this is amazing from our God is that of all the people that God could say, hey, let me go share the news of what I've done, he chose the shepherds. Because what we know about our God and what this paints a picture of is that our God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't say, you deserve me and you don't. Even Jesus, his son, that said, my father loved the world so much, everybody. And so here, this miles away, it says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I would be too, some angels show up like that. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. Say good news. Of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you, you get it. Unto you is born. The angels had already experienced everything of God. Now they're going, it's your turn. You now get to experience what we've gotten to experience. But you get something more. You get the Prince of Peace. He says, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was this with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased. I want you to get the scene here because it's pretty amazing. Understand, we're not reading a fable. This is not a fairy tale. This actually happened. These shepherds are out there. They're kind of just doing their thing, you know, little bah-bah here and a bah-bah there. You know, they're kind of just doing their thing. And all of a sudden, many scholars believe, and I agree, that it was Gabriel who showed up and he says, hey! He says, and they're like, oh my gosh! And they were fearful. And he says, don't be afraid, because what you need, your father has seen it, and he's sending it to you. And then if that wasn't enough, it says that suddenly there was this angel and a multitude of angels having praise and worship. I mean, can you see that scene? They're like, oh, that scared us. And all of a sudden there's like a multitude. Let me give you the Greek definition for a multitude. A lot. And all of them together in one voice, watch what they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Let me just tell you about this peace that Jesus came to give us, this Prince of Peace. It's available, say available. It's available to everybody, but it's not automatic. Here's what he says. Here's what Luke says. When the angels showed up, they said, you have a gift, but here's what happens. Praise goes up, and then peace comes down. When we give God praise, when we find ourselves in the moment where we need that harmonious relationship with God, we need God to step into our world and to help us with the things that are just got us at that place where it just feels like our lives are in turmoil. God says, listen, it always has and it always will begin with me, because when praise goes up, peace comes down. And he says, glory to God. I love that word glory. It's the Greek word doxa. And it simply means change your opinion about God. The word is opinion. Glory to God. And it also means the brightness. But listen, you can't give glory to God until you have a change of opinion about God. What I mean by that is that you see him for who he is. And who is he? He tells us he's God in the highest. In other words, we can't experience the peace of God until we realize that only he can give us the peace. When we realize where he's at and where we're at. He's seated on the throne. Amen. He is God. He's God in the highest. He's elevated. He's exalted and he's worshipped. We experience the peace of God in our lives with him when we recognize him for who he is. I'm not here by accident, everybody. Listen, and neither are you. God is very mindful of you. And God has always been and always will be in pursuit of you. Yeah. not to punish you, but to give you peace. To give you forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ and to restore that relationship with Him. And He says, give God praise and His peace will come down. Why do we need peace? What is it that God gives us through Jesus Christ? What is the harmonious relationship? Let me give you three thoughts this morning. Because Jesus was born on Christmas, we have been gifted peace from our past. Peace from our past. Anybody got a bad past around here? All right. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you now have a bad past. It's funny. Those of you who are guests, I do everything I can to get our people to raise their hand. I just can't get some of them. They're like, how many of you are not going to raise your hand at all? Yeah, close. All of us have a past. Amen? All of us. I have a past. There was a moment in my life where I was not a Christ follower. I wasn't born with a Bible in my hand. It was in 1981 where Jesus Christ became my Savior and my Lord, and He restored a relationship with me. Why did I need that? Because of the decisions that I'd made. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I verbally and physically abused my wife. And that's horrible. But the worst thing was that my relationship with my Father was broken because of my sin. But when I ask Jesus Christ, and there's many in this room that have done the same thing, and it doesn't matter, you go, well, I've never been an alcoholic. Sin is sin to God. And there's many in this room, when we ask Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and we thank that we believe that He died for us on the cross, and when we asked Him to be our Savior, He forgave us of our sin, and He restored the relationship. And this is what the Bible says in Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12 happened. He says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love toward those who feared Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. We need that, everybody. I need that. Here's the best we can do. Matthew, come on up here. Let me just kind of just show you an illustration. Let's all say that Matt is my sins. Say hi to my sins. So here's the best I can do. Here's the best I did before Christ became my Savior and Lord and my Prince of Peace. The best I could do is I would put things in here to try to separate the sin from me, not me from my sin. And so I would wake up on Sunday morning regretting everything that I had done, or on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever it was, and I go, I should not live like that. So I would try to put something there to keep sin from me instead of me from my sin, because it was me who put this there, therefore it was me who could remove it. But Jesus came to remove my sin. Go, sin. Go. As far as the east is from the west. We need peace from that. Isaiah 1:18 says this, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Why do I need that today? Why do I need it? If I have, and I have because Christ is my Savior and Lord, and when I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me. If I've been forgiven from my sin, why do I need peace from my past? Because unlike God, who remembers my sin no more, I have a hallway of shame, and so do you. That we either can walk down, or somebody can bring up our past and say, hey, hold on just a moment before you consider yourself al santucho, holy. I remember you when, or something will happen. And everybody, listen to me, that's when we need our Prince of Peace. That's when we need our Prince of Peace to give us peace from our past. Paul writes about it in Colossians, and he says this, for God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So what does that mean? When my past creeps up, my Prince of Peace takes me to the cross. I don't know about you, but I need that. because I have memories of who I was before Christ. And I have memories of how I sinned yesterday and asked Jesus to forgive me. And there's a real devil who wants to keep me in my past, but there's a real Savior that wants to take me to the cross and remind me of what He's done for me. Amen? Amen? Secondly, we were gifted peace for our present. Peace for our present. That harmonious relationship, that amazing oneness with God. I need that every single day of my life. And we've been gifted that. Jesus said this in John 14:27. He said, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I need peace for today, everybody. You need peace for today. Notice the words that Jesus says. He uses two amazing words about this peace, this gift of peace that the Prince brings. He says, first of all, He says, "I leave it." Think about that for a moment. What would that look like? He's saying, "Have you seen me? You've been doing life with me now for almost 3 years. Have you seen this amazing, harmonious relationship that I have with the Father? It's yours. You can have that. Have you seen those moments when it seems like the world is turning upside down, but yet I, unlike you, I don't have fear in my life. I actually fall asleep when there's storms on the water." He says, "That's because I have a peace that this world can't provide for you, nor can it take it away from you." And He says, "And I'm leaving it here for you." But listen, it's available. Say available. But it's not automatic. Because He says, "My peace I give you." It's available, but like a gift, you got to take it. You and I have to make a decision every single day of our lives to go, "No, I'm going to walk in the peace that my Prince of Peace has given me." When I find myself in these places, whether it's in my health, whether it's in my relationships, I have a peace that doesn't come from anybody else except for my Prince of Peace. Because here's what Jesus said. Jesus never promised that when we asked Christ to be our Savior that we were going to have a trouble-free life. He said this in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, "I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And with my peace, look up here, everybody. So can you. See, I need peace. You need peace for today, for me, for ourselves. But we also need our Prince of Peace to show us how to walk and live out that peace with others. In the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." We can't be peacemakers if we don't walk with the Prince of Peace. You know, there's a big difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. Let me just tell you what a peacemaker does. A peacemaker is, they're committed to the truth. Why is that? Because Jesus says the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A peacemaker doesn't walk on eggshells going, "Well, I see something wrong in their life, or I see where they are separated from God and they need Jesus Christ, but I don't want to offend them because it's politically incorrect for me to speak about Jesus at work." That's a peacekeeper. God has called us to be peacemakers. Amen? Peacemakers in our relationship with God. What does that mean? Is that the very gift that we've been given, we go tell others that the gift is available to them as well. And then peacemaker between other people. In other words, when we see conflict, we speak the truth, but we speak the truth in love. We pray for those who offend us instead of putting them on blast on Facebook. That's what a peacemaker does. Well, what if they offend me again? When's the last time you offended Jesus? I offended Him yesterday. What do you mean? I sinned. You're a pastor. I'm a human. Right? You know what a peacemaker does? A peacemaker takes risks because the rewards are amazing. Jesus took a risk on me and on you when he went to the cross. And lastly, we've been gifted peace for our future. Peace for our future. Sometimes the future can be scary, right, everybody? I mean, think about it. Especially during the holidays. I mean, you start thinking about, you get the list and you check it to see who's been naughty or nice, and you start thinking about what gift you're going to get for everybody, and then all of a sudden you start thinking, well, if I get that gift, then, you know, I don't know how we're going to pay this or how we're going to pay that. Or you start thinking about job changes and the new year's coming, and is my company going to downsize? All these things, the future can be really frightening. Amen? But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, says, no, listen, I came to, and it's interesting because the word for prince in Isaiah is the word for captain or commander or leader. In other words, he says, if you'll follow me, I'll lead you into the best future you could ever imagine. Look at what he said in Matthew 6:34. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about, say it with me, tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is for the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because the Prince of Peace is already there. He's already in tomorrow. In Colossians 3, Paul writes and he says this amazing thing in verse 15. He says, let the, say it with me, the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. That word peace is the same word used in the Old Testament. Let the harmonious relationship that you have with God, not based on what you do or don't do, but based on what Jesus has done, let that harmonious relationship rule in your hearts. It's an interesting word that Paul uses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, for rule. It's actually where we get our word for umpire. You know, like a baseball umpire. Anybody ever been at a game and an umpire calls a strike and you go, that's wrong, blue! Here's what the Holy Spirit does. When, say when? When we let our Prince of Peace, the one who has given us this harmonious relationship with God the Father, lead us into our future. Here's what he does. That peace does. Things come in your life and you hear this report and says, you know what? You got this thing going on in your life and fear can set in your heart. But the harmonious relationship with God the Father says, we're moving that one out of the way because that's not true. You're never going to be able to be free from that sin in your life. We're moving that one out of the way because you have a harmonious relationship with God the Father. God's never going to answer that prayer for you. You're never going to be able to be everything that God has called you to be. Your marriage is never going to be great. Your kids are going to be, all those things. The Holy Spirit, when we let the peace of God rule in our lives, he says, those are not true. Those are false things because God the Father is for you. And if Christ be with you, who can be against you? What a gift we've been given, everybody. We've been given peace from our past, and we need it every day. We've been given peace for our present to help us live life to the fullest. And we've been given peace for our future. I can step into tomorrow, and in spite of what's going on with my health, I got peace. I got a peace the world didn't give me, and the world can't take away from me. We got a peace that surpasses even our own understanding. Because it comes from Christ. Let me just show you one last thing from this amazing moment. I told you about the shepherds. They had a history. Say history. Just like we had a history. Right? They had a history. And so therefore they kept themselves away from everybody. When shepherds came, they could smell them a mile away. It's like, there's a shepherd coming. But after you receive the gift of peace, after praise goes up and peace comes down, our history becomes part of his story. Verse 15 of chapter 2. When the angels went away, from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. No longer see ourselves as outcast. We no longer see ourselves as people on the outside. We're now heirs of the great peace of God. Yes. And I no longer live by my history. I live now for eternity, everybody, as part of His story. That's the opportunity that we have when we're led by our Prince of Peace and become peacemakers. We get to be a part of His story. Amen? Would you bow your heads and let me pray for you? Father, we thank You, God, for Your amazing love, how You love us. We thank You, God, that no one except for You could provide a peace for us between us and You. And You did it. And we're grateful. Jesus, Prince of Peace, thank You. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. For out of respect, please, heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're in this room and you never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, in other words, you know there's not a peace between you and God. Jesus came to provide that peace. It's available to you. All you have to do is repent. That means turn from sin and yourself and turn to Jesus. Believe in your heart that Jesus came. He is and was the Son of God. He died on the cross for you. And He rose 3 days later, proving that He's the Son of God. If that's you, nobody looking around, I want to pray for you. But in order to pray for you, I need to know who you are. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, but you want that peace that comes from Jesus. Would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? Father, we thank You. Help us, Lord, as we move towards the holidays to be peacemakers. Lead us, Prince of Peace. In Your name we pray. Amen.